Well, here it is. It's Friday. It is the 16th of May in the year of our Lord 2025, and this is the Panic Podcast for Friday. Welcome to the program. We are looking at the Book of Revelation on Fridays, and we are up to, remarkably, it's the 10th or 11th week, we're up to chapter 6. So get your Bibles opened up to Revelation chapter 6, and we'll get started in a second. Yeah, that's the long and the short of it, all right. Hey, it's good to have you with us on, excuse me. Oh, my allergies are just killing me. They cut the grass here, and it's all up my nose, down my throat, and settling in my lungs. Pardon me. Gosh. Well, it is, it's May. It's getting close to June, and we have our usual gray, rainy, but very warm and humid days here in Wise County. And as I said, they've managed to get our grass cut at the church in between our dousings, so we're happy about that. Hope you all had a good week out there. Excuse me. And I hope you're ready to make sense of Revelation chapter 6 with me. Make sure you read those verses in Revelation chapter 6. This is probably, I would say, one of the most important chapters in the whole book, because if you don't get Revelation chapter 6 right, you'll get everything else wrong. So Revelation chapter 6 is a key chapter in the book of Revelation. And you need to answer five very important questions before we can study and understand the sixth chapter of Revelation. So the first question is this: are the events which begin with the breaking of the first seal past or future? Now, through the years, many Bible scholars have tried to find a historical fulfillment of this of the seal judgments. But there are solid reasons for believing that the breaking of the seals and the revelations that they concern are events in the future. Now, the vision of chapters 4 and 5 is described as after this. In other words, after the revelation to the seven churches, which is described in chapter 1, verse 19 as what is now, in contrast to what will take place later. So you need to look at Revelation 19 because that's a key verse. It presents the Holy Spirit-inspired outline of the book of Revelation. Let me read it to you. It says, "Write then the things you see, both the things that are now and the things which will happen afterward." So, according to Revelation 19, the things you see refer to John's vision of Christ among the lampstands. The things which are now refer to the letters to the seven churches, chapters 2 and 3. And the things which will happen afterwards. That's basically chapter 4 to the end of the book. All right? So, since the scroll is sealed in chapter 5, the clear implication is that the seals are broken at that time after chapter 5, which is concerning events in the future. Now, the second question is, what is the relationship of the seals or the sealed judgments to the rapture of the church? Well, in the letter to Thyatira, the rapture is pictured as something yet to happen. And the rapture is in view in the letter to the church in Philadelphia. Beginning in chapter 6, though, there's no reference whatever to churches or the rapture that are described in familiar passages like, and note these passages and read them, because these two passages are all about the rapture of the church. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 58, and 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. Both of those passages of Scripture give us details about the rapture of the church. Now, since neither the church nor the rapture are seen or talked about in Revelation chapters 6 through 18, many conclude that the rapture of the church has taken place before the events beginning in chapter 4 and thus precedes the tribulation, which is what chapter 6 is all about. Revelation 6 is really, it's kind of like a preview of coming attractions, you know, or it's like the trailer to a movie. Revelation 6 is basically the 7 years tribulation wrapped up in one chapter. Everything after that, well, not everything, but up to chapter, like, whatever, 17 or 18, it's all about the 7 years of tribulation, okay? Now, what is the relationship of the seal judgments, it's Revelation chapter 6, to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27? That's a good question. Thank you for asking it. Israel's future, Israel's program, concluding in the 70th week of Daniel. Well, let's read that verse. Yeah, let's read that verse. We're talking about it. We should read it. Daniel 9, verse 27. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Well, obviously, because, you know, we're studying the book of Revelation, the he refers to the Antichrist. The Antichrist shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. 1 week is 7 days or 7 years. We're talking about the 7 year tribulation. So the Antichrist will make a covenant at the beginning of the tribulation, continuing Daniel 9:27. But in the middle of the week, or in the middle of the 7 year tribulation, the Antichrist shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. In other words, he will turn, and where he has supported the Jews, he will now persecute the Jews in roughly the middle of the tribulation. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Okay, that's the New King James Version. I apologize for reading that. Basically, on the wing, in a section of the temple, the rebuilt temple, the Antichrist will set up an abomination, a statue of himself that makes the temple useless to the Jews until the Lord comes back. Okay, so Daniel 9:27, that's Israel's future, is best understood as related to the scenes here described in Revelation chapter 6. Some scholars have tried to find, like, Daniel 9:27 fulfilled in the history of the Jews, but nothing in history exactly corresponds to it. So it's better to consider the last 7 years of time as we know it as the final period leading up to the second coming, and obviously still future. The fourth question you want to ask yourself is, does Revelation 6 deal with the entire 7 years anticipated in Daniel chapter 9:27, or only with the last 3.5 years that some people refer to as the Great Tribulation or a time of great distress? In connection with this question, you might want to look at the following passages of Scripture, which we're not going to look at just for the sake of time. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, Daniel 12, verse 1, and Matthew 24, verse 21. Now, before I answer that question, The final 7 years lead after the rapture of the church and leading up to the second coming of Christ, most people just designate as the tribulation. It's also known as Daniel's 70th week. Some people break up the seven-year tribulation into two segments. The first half, or the first 3.5 years, they refer simply to as the tribulation. And in the second half, they refer to as the great tribulation. Because in the first half of the tribulation, the first 7.5 years, there's relative peace on earth. At the midpoint of the tribulation, literally, terrible things, terrible judgments fall on the earth, okay? So most expositors, most Bible scholars assume that the events beginning in Revelation chapter 6 cover the whole 7-year period known as the tribulation. A fifth question, and this is an interesting question. How are the events of Revelation 6 related to Matthew chapters 24 and 25? That's a very astute question. Matthew chapters 24 and 25, we call those two chapters our Lord's Olivet Discourse. It's a teaching that he gave on Mount Olives. And it's all about the tribulation. Everything you're reading in Matthew chapters 24 and 25, every single thing you're reading there has its ultimate fulfillment in the book of Revelation and in Revelation chapter 6. So the order of events in Revelation and the order of events in Matthew 24 and 25 are very similar. Now, listen and write these out just to give you an idea. In Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7, we read about war. And in Revelation chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, we read about war in the future. In Matthew 24, verse 37, we read about a famine. And in Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, we also read about the same famine. In Matthew 24, 7 and 9, we read all about death. And in Revelation 6, 7 and 8, we read about death. In Revelation 24, verses 9 and 10 and verses 16 to 22, we read about martyrdom, specifically of the saints in the during the tribulation period. Well, in Revelation 6, 9 to 11, we read about the tribulation martyrs. In Matthew 24, 29, we read about how the sun and moon will be darkened and stars will fall from the sky. And we read the same thing in Revelation 6, verses 12 and 14. In Matthew 24, verse 32, all the way through chapter 25, verse 26, we read about God's judgment, the last judgment. Well, we read about that in Revelation 6, verses 15 and 17. So it seems very clear that the events of Revelation chapter 6, summarized in the opening of the seals, have their background in previous prophecies, specifically as we just talked about, Matthew chapters 24 and 25, which helps us to understand John's symbolic revelation. Okay, let's look at the text. Let's read about the first seal. Remember, the Lamb is holding the scroll that nobody in heaven and earth could open, and he's going to open up the first seal. Think about the wax seals. Then I saw the Lamb. Well, this is verses 1 and 2, Revelation 6. Then I saw the Lamb break open the first of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice that sounded like thunder, "Come." And I looked. There before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown. He rode out as a conqueror to conqueror. To conquer. Now, because Christ in his second coming, as everybody seems to know about, even though most people have never read it, but they seem to know about it, it's in chapter 19, verse 11. At his second coming, Christ is pictured as riding on a white horse. Some people, when they don't think, think the rider of this horse here in Revelation 6, 1 and 2 is Christ. It's not. It is not. The terminology is completely wrong. Christ returns as a conqueror, not at the beginning of the tribulation, but at the end. Also, the riders on the other horses, we're reading about the horses of the apocalypse here, they all relate to death and destruction and judgment, which precede the second coming of Christ. So a better interpretation is that the conqueror here, as is stated in verse 2 in the Good News Translation, is a future world leader. It's the Antichrist, although the book of Revelation never uses that term. And this rider of the first white horse, the first of the four horses of the apocalypse, probably the same ruler of the people mentioned in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. Now, this future ruler has a bow with no arrows, indicating that the future one world government that he will establish, he will accomplish without warfare. This future world government begins with a time of peace, but is soon followed by horrible destruction. It's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3. In general, the seals, all of them as they break open, the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, which follow the seal judgments, and the bowl judgments, which follow the trumpets, signal the terrible judgments of God on the world at the end of the age, climaxing in the second coming. The second seal, verses 3 and 4. Then the Lamb broke open the second seal, and I heard the second living creature say, "Come!" Another horse came out, a red one. Its rider was given the power to bring war on the earth so that people should kill each other. He was given a large sword. So when the second seal breaks open, John sees a red horse with a rider on it, empowered to take peace from the earth. So in contrast with the first rider, who has a bow with no arrows, this second rider is wielding a large sword. Again, this is a picture of political power, with the rider as the world ruler. Starts off very peaceful, but then gets very violent. Verses 5 and 6, the third seal. Then the Lamb broke open the third seal, and I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there was a black horse. Its rider held a pair of scales in his hand. I heard what sounded like a voice coming from among the four living creatures, which said, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages. But do not damage the olive trees and the vineyards." Well, this is the next horse of the apocalypse, i.e. the tribulation. Here comes a black horse, ridden by a rider carrying a pail of scales. So what these verses show us is that in the future, there will be some kind of food shortage leading to incredible inflation. A quart of wheat for a day's wages, 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages. Everything is going to be expensive because there's going to be a shortage of food. The horse is black, which speaks of famine and death. And when we see the various judgments, you're going to understand why there's going to be tremendous food shortages in the future, especially in the Middle Eastern area and in Europe. Verses 7 and 8. Then the Lamb broke open the fourth seal, and I heard the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there was a pale-colored horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades followed close behind. They were given authority over 1/4 of the earth, so not the whole earth, just a quarter of the earth, to kill by means of war, famine, disease, and wild animals. So the fourth horse of the apocalypse, released by the fourth seal, is a pale horse, which in the Greek is literally like pale green, like almost like kind of a sickly vomit color. And John writes that this rider's name will be Death, and that Hades was following close behind him. Well, this is the aftermath of war, famine, and death. With war and famine, people fall prey to starvation, plague, and the wild beasts roaming the earth. The startling fact is revealed that a fourth of the earth, at least a billion people, will be killed by these means. So obviously this is not a trivial judgment, but a major factor in the Great Tribulation, supporting the idea that these verses are talking about the 7 years of tribulation. These first four seals are usually considered to be a unit and a general description of what life will be like during the Great Tribulation. It will be simply awful. And in this connection, you might want to pause and read the following verses. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, and Matthew chapter 24, verses 21 and 22. The fifth seal is now broken. John writes, I saw underneath, yes, it's underneath, not on or beside or in front or behind of, it's underneath the altar, the souls of those who had been killed because they had proclaimed God's word and had been faithful in their witnessing. They shouted in a loud voice, Almighty Lord, holy and true, how long will it be until you judge the people on earth and punish them for killing us? Each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to rest a little while longer until the complete number of other servants and believers were killed as they had been. So the fifth seal involves not a scene on earth as in the first four seals, but a scene in heaven, souls underneath the altar. Why are they underneath the altar, you might ask? I don't know. I can't answer that. It seems to me they'd be on top of the altar or like around the altar, but they're underneath for some reason. Only the Lord knows why. And these are the tribulation martyrs. These are not martyrs from all of history. Okay, these are the martyrs that will be slain during the seven-year tribulation, and there's more detail about them in Revelation 7, which we'll get to, I think, next week, Lord willing. So this group of verses makes it very clear that people will be saved during the Great Tribulation. In fact, I'll go a step further and say that there'll be great revivals breaking out all over the world during the Great Tribulation. But many of these believers will be martyred. Not all of them. Not all of them. But many will be. And they will cry out to the Lord, asking how long it will be before he avenges them. The reply is a little strange. They're given, each of them is given a white robe and informed that the tribulation isn't over yet, and that there'll be more believers martyred before God's judgments on the wicked and the deliverance of the righteous occurs at the second coming. Now, I'll make a note here, and we'll talk about this when we get towards the end of our study of the book of Revelation. But just to introduce the subject here to make you think, spirits without any substance couldn't wear robes. Think about that. The fact that these tribulation martyrs will be given robes to wear, I think supports the idea that when believers die, like any time, like you know, today, yesterday, during the tribulation, when any believers die, they are given immediately temporary bodies, which will later on be replaced by their resurrection bodies at the time of the resurrection in Revelation chapter 20. What verse is that? It's verse 4 if you want to look it up. But we'll get to it when we talk. We're going to spend an entire week in chapter, I think chapter 20. The sixth seal, verses 12 to 17. Now, John records in these verses, you might want to read them, chapter 6, verses 12 to 17, that a great earthquake will take place when the sixth seal is opened. More dramatic than the earthquake was the transformation, or will be the transformation, of the heavens, with the sun turning black, the moon turning blood red, and the stars falling like figs from a tree. Under this the sixth seal, the heavens appear to roll up like a scroll. And at the same time, due to the earthquake, all the mountains and islands of the earth are jolted out of their places. Well, here again, in the sequence of events, the end hadn't been reached yet because there's more seals to be opened. But so far, this is the most dramatic judgment in this time of great distress before the Lord returns. Now, some scholars have tried to see a figurative fulfillment in this prophecy. In other words, you can't take it literally. But it seems to me that you ought to take this prediction literally. The trumpet and the bowl judgments, which we'll read about in coming weeks, also include tremendous natural disasters and disturbances and literal earth changes just before the Lord returns and after his return. So the practical event of all these natural disasters that will occur under this seal will be just outrageous fear in believers from all walks of life. People will be so frightened and anxious towards the end of the tribulation, just prior to the second coming, that people would rather be killed by a falling mountain than to face the wrath of God, referring to the anger of God. So what we're witnessing under the sixth seal is not normal or natural disasters, but a time of distress unparalleled in world history. It's going to be an awful, awful time to be alive. So taken as a whole, Revelation chapter 6 is one of the most important and pivotal chapters in the entire book of Revelation, and probably in the Bible itself. Revelation 6 describes the first six seals and also introduces the seventh seal, which consists of and introduces the next set of judgments, the trumpets, and the bowls of God's wrath in chapters 8 and 9 and then in chapter 16. This chapter, Revelation 6, I cannot stress how important this chapter is. It is literally the entire seven-year tribulation condensed into one chapter. Everything that comes after this in the book of Revelation up to the second coming of Christ basically expands on everything that is introduced in chapter 6. And this chapter alone should put to rest the false teachings that God, being a God of love, would never judge the wicked world. It also raises the important question contained in the closing words of verse 17. Who can stand? Who can stand during the outpouring of God's wrath? The answer is only those who have taken advantage of God's generous grace before the time of judgment will be able to stand when God deals with the earth in this final period of earth's history. Those who will be saved during the Great Tribulation are dealt with in the next chapter, and that's what we'll get to next week. Okay, that is it. Well, that's enough doom and gloom for one day, isn't it? Thank you for listening to the Panic Podcast all week long. You know, these studies are uploaded every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So thank you for listening. We'll be back on Friday with the next study in the book of Revelation. But the Panic Podcast will be back on Monday with a look at another prophet in the Old Testament. But in the meantime, we got to get from here to there. So we've got a weekend coming up. Make it a good one. Go on out. Have a great weekend. The weather's going to be not too bad here in Wise County. There's a chance of rain each and every day, naturally, but I think it's going to be fairly pleasant. So let's get on out and enjoy the sun while we can. We don't know when we'll see it again. But thank you for listening. Don't forget to go to church on Sunday. If you're a member of my church, I will be looking for you Sunday, 10 o'clock sharp. God bless. Thank you for listening. We'll talk again soon.